this particular text is tailored to teach us that our God, the God of resurrection, restoration, and redemption, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, that God, who in the beginning was the Word, made all things. Without him, nothing that was made was made. That same God, who is the Word made flesh in the New Testament, dwelling among us, is a God of restoration, resurrection, and redemption. It's a God who can speak to any situation and condition in our lives, brings healing to our lives, deliverance to our lives, and salvation. That God can resurrect, restore, and redeem any situation you may be presently dealing with. He is a God of life in dead places. Despite what your reality may look like, God can open the way to new possibilities. He always seems to show up right on time. May not come when we want him to, but he's always right on time. God asked a question of himself and answered in the same breath in Jeremiah 32 and 27. I am the Lord, he said, the God of all mankind. Is there anything too hard for me? I don't care this morning what you're dealing with. I just want to encourage you to know that we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith that is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is the currency, the kingdom that we represent, without which it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. David said in Psalms 37 and 25, I have been young, now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God wants to bless our lives, to increase the years of our substance. We would prosper and have good health. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and the future. So this morning we serve a God who is both willing and well able. We serve an on-time God, God of life in dead places, God who can resurrect, restore, and redeem. This narrative of the widow's son, or the widow of Nain as it is called, is exclusive the Gospel of Luke. The story of a son, a mother, a savior, and a people begins as a twofold tragedy that unfolds into a triumphant story of resurrection, restoration, and redemption. That Jesus resurrects a son, restores a mother, and redeems the faith of a people. Luke's record of Jesus begins in chapter 2 with his birth. Chapter 3, he is baptized by John. Chapter 4, he is tempted in the wilderness, empowered by the Spirit, and returns home to Galilee and begins preaching in their synagogues as news of his ministry spreads throughout the countryside. His fame continues to spread as he performs miracles and heals many. Chapter 5, he teaches out of a ship, calls Peter, James, and John, cleanses a leper, and calls a tax collector by the name of Levi. Chapter 6, he chooses the 12, teaches us to love our enemies. That a tree is known by the fruit that it bears. That a house that is built on a solid foundation, when the floods come, will not fall, because it is built on a rock. And now here in chapter 7, Jesus, the disciples, and a crowd have arrived at the gate of the town of Nain. It's just come from Capernaum. From the centurion's servant, who having been at the point of death, is healed because of his master's faith. And now here at the gate of Nain, he meets a large funeral procession.
Yes, sir.
The two crowds converging at the gate of the town. One experiencing life and the giver of life, while the other is consumed in grief because of the death of this young man. The greater tragedy, what will become of this mother. And so the first thing that we see in the text is that when Jesus sees this woman, his heart goes out to her. He says to her, "Don't cry." In other words, he has compassion on her. This leads me to my first point, which is we serve a compassionate God. Psalms 103 verse 8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." God is so moved by compassion for us that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believe in Jesus might be saved and have eternal life. God is so moved by compassion for us that his love flows to the lowest situations in our lives, that our greatest needs and weaknesses and failures are his number one concern. He is drawn to every lowly area of our lives where his strength is made perfect in our weakness. His compassion comforts the weary heart, gives us rest from all that troubles us. We can lay our burdens on him, for he cares for us. He meets us right in the midst of our situations. He meets us right where we are, in the middle of our sorrows, and brings relief to our troubled minds. God has compassion for us because he knows what we are going through. His desire is that we live in abundant love. He's merciful and he is steadfast in his love toward us. Lamentations 3 verses 22 through 23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." That God is faithful to us. Jesus understands the gravity, the seriousness of this situation. This woman is a widow. Now she has lost her only son. He knows that there is only one course of action to be taken. That is to restore this woman's son back to her. Knows that without him, she is consigned to a life of depending upon the benevolence of others. This leads me to my second point, which is that we serve an omniscient and omnipotent God. Hebrews 4:13 says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. And you exalt yourself as head over all." God is an omniscient and omnipotent God. He is a God who knows all. God who is all wise. God who sees all. God who has all power. God knows just what we have need of and can fix any situation we are going through. He has complete and unlimited knowledge about our lives. After all, He made us. He knows all about us. He's aware of everything that we experience in our lives. He is both willing and well able to restore us to wholeness. That's what this story is about, this narrative found in Luke. Restoration, God redeems, God restores. It's about wholeness. God desires that His people be made whole. God knows everything about our lives. Jeremiah 1 and 5, He says to the prophet, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, appointed you as prophet to the nations." God knows everything about us, right down to the number of hairs on our head. He is actively involved in our lives. He promised that He would never leave nor forsake us. Nothing that we go through or experience in our lives is happenstance. That every experience that we have has a purpose, has been ordained by God. He knows all, sees all, and has all power. He's just and faithful. God who commands healing. God who has power over death and darkness. He is the resurrection and the life. In verse 14, Jesus resurrects this young man, restores him back to his mother. He understands that without him, this woman would be at the mercy of others. No one to protect her, no one to provide for her. She would live out the rest of her life dependent upon the generosity of others. So He speaks to her situation, giving life to what she thinks she has lost, giving life to what she thinks is dead. Can I suggest to you this morning that Jesus can give life to any situation of our lives? No matter how dark it may seem, Jesus is the answer. Resurrect those things in our lives that appear to be dead. Just as He resurrects this young man, gives him back to his mother. The text further says that those who were witness to this event were filled with awe, that they began to praise God. They were witnesses to this miracle, overwhelmed by the greatness of His power as He raises this young man from death to life. As a result, the text says they began glorifying and praising God for the miracle they had witnessed. This leads me to my third and final point. That is, we serve a God who is worthy of our praise. Yes. Psalms 145 and 3 says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy to be praised." Yes. His greatness no one can fathom. Our God is our source for everything in our lives. Gives us our daily bread. He wakes us up each morning. Gives us the use of our bodies. He keeps our minds at perfect peace if we keep our minds stayed on Him. He is our God.